Nexus Church is all about cultivating an authentic Christian community where old and young alike journey with Jesus and are transformed by the gospel. May we be challenged and inspired by the power of His Word.
Firstly, who's excited families that it's school holidays? Yeah, it's a mixed response there. That's cool. I get it, because you don't have the lunches to pack, you don't have the routines anymore, but you got to somehow entertain or give information. You know, that's the pain, isn't it? Okay, I'm looking at parents because Liz and I don't have kids. We've got a dog and a cat, so I'm just getting confirmation. But it's exciting, holidays, isn't it? Holidays is a time that we go away, often can go away, and we do our trips. Liz and I had a trip, back in 2016. It was probably the longest trip we'd had going away, and it was this trip over to Canada and down to California, because we only wanted to see California in America. Sorry, that's really bad. We just love the outdoors, and We went to Canada and to America, and we went down to California, and it was the longest trip we had, and it was beautiful. And we went through and stayed at multiple hotels and in multiple, you know, beds and having hotel food and restaurant food and all that stuff that is great when you're on a trip. And we came home, we flew home, landed on the airport. We got, probably one of our family members took us home, and we came to the front door and unlocked that front door, and we walked in. And I was suddenly reminded again how nice it is, that sensation of coming home. Do you know what I'm talking about? When you've been on a trip, you've been going from hotel bed to hotel bed to hotel, you know, kitchen to hotel kitchen, and you get home, and you're like, I'm home. That feeling of home. There's nothing like coming home, the old saying is. It's like this sensation where, you know, I have a chair that I just so look forward to sitting into. It's just, I've sat in it a lot. That's my chair. My body feels home. That's my room. That's my pillow. Like hotel pillows, there I go. Man, this is my pillow. I truly feel like I'm home. It's like, there's nothing like this. Do you know what I mean? Nothing like that feeling of coming home. And in fact, studies have found that physically we need a place to call home. That physically our bodies actually need that sensation of, this is my bed, this is my kitchen, this is my chair, this place where our body knows it's home. I can rest. And if our bodies need that sensation, we physically need that place to call home, it gets me wondering, how much more do our spiritual, our souls, our whole being, not just our body, need its spiritual home? In fact, I wonder if in our community, it just gets me wondering, in our community, if there's so much fear and anxiety and restlessness and tiredness, in part because we live with what we could call nomadic souls. Souls that are going from one experience to the next, from one thing to the next, from one person to the next, from one opportunity to the next, trying to find its place where it can truly say, I am home, where the hurried weariness of life, as it were, stops, and we can truly go, I'm at rest. You know, Jesus speaks to this longing of our heart. And it's in a scripture in some verses that we are so familiar with, if you've been around this space following Jesus for some time, that we almost have to put a little circuit breaker in at this point and say, would we hear it as if hearing it for the first time? Holy Spirit, help us to get not just the words that we've heard so many times, but would you make this alive for me today? Because the Holy Spirit, if I put it this way, doesn't add to what Jesus has said and done, but He makes it alive for us today. And as we hear these words that Jesus speaks, that is my prayer, that He would make these words alive for us today, the truths of these words, that they would actually infiltrate and permeate our lives and shape how we move in our going. And so Jesus speaks to this deep desire of every heart to find true home where there's true rest. And He says this. He says in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke or my way of life upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke or my way of life is easy and my burden is light. Would we just pray? Lord, as we come to your word, Lord, I ask that you, Holy Spirit, would make alive the truths of what Jesus invites us into. As he spoke it back then, he still speaks through your Spirit to us the same words. Come and find rest. And Lord, as we sit in what this is, you would do your work, that there would be deep rest found by every person here this morning as they understand what it is that you offer. I ask that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You know, one of the tasks of our apprenticeship to Jesus, we're in a discipleship series, and one of the tasks of our apprenticeship to Jesus, our following of Jesus, our discipleship of Jesus, is actually learning what it is Jesus speaks of here. It's learning to receive his offer, his gift of rest, and learning to bring that into the movement of our life. You know, my wife, she is a gift person. Who here are gift people? You feel loved by receiving gifts. There's a few. I'm encouraged that there's not as many as I expected, because my wife gives me the impression that gifts are like primary, and it is for her, but I'm grateful, because it's not my way of feeling loved necessarily. But my wife loves gifts, and over 16 years I've learned to do that a little better, but there's a way to go. But if Liz came and said to me, Josh, every 2 weeks I want you and you need to give me a gift, I would probably do it because I love her. Not because I'm afraid of her, because I love her, I would probably do it. 16 years, I love her well. I would do it, but what she receives from me would not be a true gift, because a true gift is a gift freely given from the heart. Jesus here says, in your weariness, in your hurriedness, in your movement of life where there is this underwriting anxiety and this longing of your heart to find true home, I want to invite you to find that place. Come to me and I will give, or I will gift you rest. The first thing when understanding what Jesus is speaking of here when he talks of true rest is that true rest is a gift from God. And notice that Jesus doesn't say work harder. He doesn't say do step 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then you'll have rest. He doesn't say be more religious or just be better, and then you will have rest. He says, come and receive this gift of rest. It's a gift from God, and that tells us that it's not something we can earn. It's something we do learn to bring into our life, and that is the journey step by step of our apprenticeship to Jesus. But it is not something we can ever earn. A gift freely given, all we can do is answer the choice of whether we receive it or not. Will we receive that gift or not? And one of the challenges I find for myself, and I suspect for all of us, in the receiving of his gift of rest to us, it does mean that we have to lay down the illusion of control. And I say illusion of control, think of it like this. How many here have seen the photos that everyone tries to get when they're at the Tower of Pisa, the Leaning Tower of Pisa? It's that picture, you've seen it, where they're trying to get the right shot, where it looks like they are holding that building up. The illusion that they're holding it up, but they're not actually doing what it looks like they're doing. You know, in receiving this gift of rest to our lives that Jesus offers, it means first laying down the illusion of control. Have you ever thought to yourself, as I have for myself, either consciously or unconsciously, if I just get this aspect of my life a little more in control, then I will be able to truly rest. If I just get the kids behaving in this way, then I will be able to truly rest. If I just get this much more money, then I will be able to truly, if I just get this career progression, this next step, then I will be able to truly rest. But what we find, and I find, is when I'm in that mindset and I'm carrying that under that illusion of control, I'm juggling these balls and then I add another ball. Maybe it's about my reputation. Maybe it's about adding this plan, this project, and I'm juggling. And I find that I never actually land in that place that I'm actually going, if I just do a little more, then I will rest. What we find is that we can at times get a temporary surface level rest, but these things never actually mean that that restlessness and that anxiety or that fear actually goes. The laying down of that illusion of control. You know, it's important to say at this point that there is work is really important and actually something that God has ordained for us to do. There's a great theology of work. It's important. But what we're talking about here in this moment, when we're trying to do more, get things, just control the situation so we can truly rest, is this idea that we work to rest. But in Scripture and in God and in the patterns of Jesus, we see a different pattern. And it's that we don't work to rest, but the rest He invites us into is rest to then work. We see it right back at Genesis 1 where it says of the days that it says that there is night and then there is morning the first day. And then there's night and then there's morning the second day. That actually night is the start of our day and morning where we work is the flow on from the night where we rest. That actually there's this pattern of rest to work, not work to rest, but yet we get so caught, and I find myself in that illusion of control, where I just do a little bit more. Pastor Nathan a few weeks ago talked about the path of a disciple is one of self-denial, taking up our cross so that we might receive a great exchange. But first it's about laying down before we can pick up His gift. And it's the same here. There's this invitation to deny the desire of self to control, to lay down that illusion of control. And in that laying down, to receive the great exchange of His true rest, where we learn to trust Him. Rest. It's this, if I put it this way, true rest is an act of trust. It's an act of laying down that illusion of control so that we then pick up and go, you know what, God? I lay that down and I put my trust in You, that You are holding all things together, that that's not just a nice little Bible story that's said down in kids, but actually legitimately, He holds the universe together, the resurrected Christ. That He actually is good, that He is for us, that He is the one who sustains us and not myself. Rest. I felt to sit here today because I believe in the middle of this year that for some people, this is the breath moment for you to recalibrate. You sense what I described at the beginning in your heart, that longing for true home, and you are living maybe with that nomadic soul. I'll just try the next thing. I'll just get this in control. And Jesus is saying, there's another way. Don't work to rest, but rest in Me, and from that flows work. You know, for Liz and I, this has been a learning curve that we're still on. Remember, our discipleship with Jesus is not an accelerated thing. It is often the pace of a walk, one step at a time. And for us, that has been the journey with this, and we are not fully there. But 5 years ago, Liz came to a point where she was in that dynamic that I talked about of juggling the balls, trying to just do a little more, just maybe this will give me my soul's rest. And she follows Jesus for her whole life, but this is the thing of an apprenticeship. We keep learning and there's things that we still have to learn one step at a time. And for her, she was juggling, and she got to the point where we were on holidays in January 2020 and she found herself able to laugh once. She knew that she had flatlined. And we knew that she needed to change things. And we knew we needed God's help and we needed external help from professionals. And so we, with the grace of God, accessed those supports. And over time, she has realized where she was. And with the grace of God, she started to realize what this true rest that Jesus offers is. That it's a gift. It's not something we earn. But it does require the receiving. It requires laying down this illusion of control. And it's beautiful to see, and we've learned together how to recalibrate life in that way. It's taken time, but man, she is in a space now where she is actually working more, if I put it that. She's doing more than she ever was before, but it is so grace-filled and it's from a place that she had not realized she could access. Man, it's been a beautiful thing. True rest is a gift from God, freely given. We have the choice to receive it, but in the receiving, it requires the laying down of that illusion of control. And to be honest, that is a daily laying down. Daily laying it down. But like any gift, if I put it this way, like any gift that we receive, as good as it is, there's always the chance it just ends up on a shelf. Have you received that gift? You go, this is an awesome book. I'm so looking forward to reading this. Or for me, 10 years ago, well, Liz and I got married 16 years ago, so it was probably in the first 5 years of our marriage. Every Christmas, see, I'm not a handyman, but my father-in-law is. And so every Christmas for about 3 years, I would get a power tool, I would get a drill, I would get something. You know, power of, what's it called? It's he's trying to suggest something to me and I was just ignoring it. And I got these and they'd sit there. And the reality is, and I'm comfortable in this, Liz is the handy person of our house. She knows how to use those tools. She does a good job. I'm trying to learn and I'm okay to say that. So technically those gifts were for her. But that power tool just stood there. That drill I'm thinking of, it sat there for about 5 years. I didn't have a purpose, and if they needed it, well, Liz would grab it. How many have received a gift, and you go, it's a good gift, it's a good book, it's a good thing, but it sits on the shelf? And this can happen with the gift that God gives us of true rest. You see, in the scripture in the words that he speaks there, he says, learn from me. That word learn is learn by use, learn by practice. Learn by use, learn by practice, that there's rhythms that we see throughout scripture and life that actually help us not just receive that gift, but let it start to influence and come into our being, permeate the way we walk about life, actually let it out in our life. I think of it like this. I love sport. And I grew up playing soccer, and there were times when the coach would come and have a new skill that we would learn that would help enhance how we play on the field in the game. And that new skill the coach would talk about and speak about, then the coach would demonstrate. But if I was truly to experience the power of that skill and develop that skill and experience its fullness in how it can enhance the game that I'm about to play, I have to at some point have a go and practice it. If I don't have a go and practice it, it's never going to actually come into my life and affect how I play in the game that week. And so I have to have a go. But the thing about practicing is it can feel clunky the first time you go about it. You're trying to do it, but you feel like you've got two left feet and you're trying to work this out. But the more you practice it, the more it starts to come into the natural way you play the game. And there's rhythms or practices that we see throughout Scripture in the life of Jesus in Genesis 1 with Father God that we see that actually are like those skills that we're invited to learn by use, learn by practice what it is to bring this rest into our lives. And there's four words that have been identified through the rhythms of Scripture and the teachings of Scripture, and it's simply this: stop, rest. It is delight. And it is worship. Before I explain these, just in a little way, I want to put a preface on this, that there are always different seasons of life Young parents are going to be different to single people, going to be different to empty nesters, different to other situations. And so whenever we talk on this level of practices, as it were, we have to be okay and kind to ourselves to go, different seasons mean it looks different. Don't hear in your name, it has to, in your mind, it has to be this way or for this length of time. The key here is to go, how might these things, one of them or multiples, actually have expression in my life, knowing that they're not the end in themselves, but they lead us to bring this rest that Jesus offers more in practice throughout our life. So when we play the game of life, as it were, we've practiced. It might feel clunky, but we practice and it starts to infiltrate how we do life. And so with stop, that is as much about, at its core, it's about actually training our body and our heart to know that we can lay down that illusion of control. Because stop means I'm no longer productive in this moment. I'm no longer working to make this thing happen. I'm no longer trying to control things. I actually stop, which means I have to trust God is my sustainer, not me. And that can be for 30 seconds. I know of some people, it's between work and the craziness of home with young kids, that in the car, it's not putting any music on. And I know you're driving, but it's like there's a stop moment of centering myself to Him. I'm not relying on myself. Actually, He's my sustainer. He holds all things together. Stop. Rest can be inactive rest or active rest. Inactive in the sense that I'm someone who likes to sit and I could just sit for 15 minutes and just not think too much. Just literally my body stopped. Now I know my wife is an extrovert. That is not something she finds very easy, but she finds her ways over the last few years on how she stops. She stops in a way that disengages her from the striving. But for her, resting is many types of things. It's active rest. Sometimes it's about doing something that just at the end you go, man, I feel so rested. My soul's refreshed. And then delight. We look to God in Genesis chapter 1 and he creates, and then there's night where there's rest. And at the end of that, he says, it is good. It's this idea of delight. Delighting in creation, delighting in the things that bring joy to our heart, that actually some things that we do in life, we go, I just enjoy it. That's actually God placing delight in your heart to connect with His creation that actually refreshes our soul. And then worship is about enjoying drawing close to God. That is a bit of what we're doing here, but it can happen in many different ways. We all enjoy connecting to God in different ways. Some it's nature, some it's with people, some it's other ways, but at its core, it's enjoying getting closer to God. These are practices that are not an end in themselves, but we see throughout Scripture they connect us with the grace that brings His rest into our lives and then shapes how we move, that we rest to work, we don't work to rest. This is the beautiful gift that He freely gives us. This is the challenge to receive in the laying down. And this is the invitation to learn how to use and practice this through stops, rhythms of stop, rest, delight, and worship. I'll invite the team up. You know, I just find Jesus so compelling and so beautiful and so just mesmerizing at times, how He, even in a world that was rushing as well, just found moments to separate Himself, moments to stop, moments to connect as Jesus of Nazareth walking the earth as like us, both human and God, but His humanity connecting with Father God, stopping, resting, delighting, worshiping, engaging, enjoying coming close. It speaks something to that longing in my soul, and I'm sure in your soul. And I really did feel like this Sunday at the middle of the year was a breath Sunday for people. Maybe there is a recalibration as you head into the rest of the year. And you've realized, yeah, I'm working for rest. And the reality is at best it's temporary and it's surface. But Jesus offers another way. He invites us to come to him, to receive his rest, to learn from him, to learn by use and practice, knowing that he is humble and he's gentle, that his way is easy and his burden is lighter than anything we could try to carry on our own. And in that we find true rest for our soul. It's not a moment, but it is, as apprentices of Jesus, disciples of Jesus, something we learn step by step each day. And Scripture gives us practices, tangible ways to lean into that. And so with that, I actually, for these last few moments, want to allow a space where we actually do this. And so I invite you to just take a posture, maybe it's closed eyes, just to remove distractions. That you would see this moment as a moment to stop. No striving, no thinking about what I have to do. Stop. And rest. Aware that he sustains us, not us. Rest for your soul. Holy Spirit, make alive what Christ spoke in the hearts of people. For some, Holy Spirit will just drop some things that just bring delight to you, but you've forgotten about. Delight. Pure joy. For nothing else but joy. And right now, just enjoy drawing closer to him. For 1 minute, just sit in that space. Lord, we thank you for your offer of true rest for our souls. We honor you. We rest in you. You know, it says in Genesis 1, I just feel to share this. It says in Genesis 2, that when God made humans, Adam and Eve, that he breathed into them and they were animated with life. I feel for some this week, it's actually connecting again, that when you breathe, it's not just air, it's actually reminding us that he is the one that sustains us and gives us life and gives us rest.
We hope this message encouraged or perhaps even challenged you in your Christian faith. Our pastors meet regularly with people to pray and support them, and we extend this invitation to you. Please let us know if we can contact you to offer support. Simply call the office or visit nexuschurch.com.au.